I want to welcome you here on Resurrection Sunday. I know you're looking forward to being with your family today and celebrating this special day. And I'm believing God that this is going to be a new day for you and a new day for your family. Amen. There was a man, he was praying one Easter morning right before church, and he was just thanking the Lord, praising God for everything in his life. And God was so pleased with this man that he told him, you can have anything that you request, anything you want, just ask it, just one thing. And so the man paused and he said, you know, I always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying, so maybe you can build a bridge to Hawaii for me. And God said, well, that's really a complicated order. It's very complex. I mean, you're asking a lot here. The details involved with that, the logistics involved with that, the complexity. Why don't you ask for something else? And so the man thought for a second, and he said, well, my wife always tells me I'm too insensitive and that I just don't understand her, and I want to understand women. So, why they think the way that they do, why they feel the way that they do, why they do the things that they do. And God said, do you want your bridge 2-lane or 4-lane? Complicated women. But this is not a sermon about women. This is about the Lord Jesus. I want to talk to you today about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings living hope, lasting joy, and lifelong peace. Doesn't that sound good? In our day, in our time, in the things that we see going on in our world. You know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was born a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He did wonderful miracles, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. He taught incredible truths. He loved people. But he was falsely accused, and he was crucified on a cruel cross. We've been talking about this all week, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday this past Friday. We read in the Gospels that after the horrific crucifixion of Christ, that his closest followers, the disciples, scattered. And they were confused. They had to be thinking, what's next? And have you ever noticed that when you're in difficult times, you ask that question, okay, what's next? And then you get over a hurdle, and then you say again, what's next? And I remember last year when we first started into this COVID thing, we were trying to make adjustments, not really knowing what we're doing. And we were trying to figure things out. Even to this day, I'm constantly asking myself, you know, what's next? What's coming up next? Well, what amazes me is how clear Jesus was with his disciples on what was next. And he told them very specifically several times on several different occasions that he would be arrested, that he would be killed, and on the third day he would rise again. And he foretold this, and he prepared them time and time again. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 16:21, it says this, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So he was really clear about what was going to take place. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 16. In verse 16, you're going to see this up on the screen. So before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he was having another one of those discussions with his disciples, and he tells them how this is going to play out. And so in chapter 16 of John, verse 16, we begin, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me. And again a little while, and you will not see me. And in a little while, you will see me. And because I am going away to the Father. So they were saying, what does this mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? See, Jesus, what he's doing is he's painting this picture of hope for them. And he's telling them, in a little while you are not going to see me. I will be gone. But don't worry, I will return. That's what he's telling them. And in John chapter 14, just a couple of chapters before this, Jesus tells them that he's going to go away. And he explains, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and that you know the way. And his disciples tell him, we don't know where you are going. How are we supposed to know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. So in other words, I am your hope. And he continues this message to this day, 2,000 years later. That is his message to you. He says, I am your hope. No one will ever have eternal life with the Father, he says in that verse, unless they come through him, through Jesus. And to this day, Jesus continues to bring hope. Their hope seemed to fade and die. The disciples saw the crucifixion, and they witnessed this horrific thing, and they thought that all hope was gone, but their hope raised to life after the resurrection. I like how Peter, he describes this later on. Peter writes this, one of the books of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the hope we profess is the completed work of Christ on the cross and the victory of the resurrection. And listen, there is no greater hope for you. There is no greater hope for your children. There's no greater hope for your future. There's no greater hope for your children's future. But if you are going to look into something, and if you're going to get clarity on something, if you're going to get anything straight in this world, get this straight. The completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the victory that we have through the resurrection. You know, Lee Strobel, he was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he didn't believe in the Lord. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe in Christ, but he was led to prove the Bible wrong, and he set out to do this. And he committed to research and to prove it wrong. And he read eyewitness accounts from the disciples. He read historical writings and historical documents. He read through the Bible. He went through documents that were written during the first century that spoke of Jesus. He studied the meaning of the cross and the resurrection. He interviewed scholars all over the world. And Lee Strobel's life was utterly and completely transformed through this investigation. Why? It's because when you drill down and you study and you come to understand what the crucifixion of Jesus Christ means and the power and victory of the resurrection, you are overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, I read a story not long ago of one of the former governors of Oklahoma. He was a staunch atheist, and someone challenged him to do a serious, serious study of the cross and resurrection, and his life was transformed forever. The person and works of Jesus Christ has proven powerful to this day. All people from all over the world, their lives have been transformed. Criminals in prisons, career criminals have been delivered. Drug addicts have been set free. Business people have come to Christ. Serial killers have come to Christ. World leaders have come to Christ. Soccer moms, some of the greatest intellectuals the world has ever known have come to Christ and found hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, the Greek word and Hebrew word for hope in Scripture, they describe certainty. And it's never wishful thinking. It's not like saying, I hope the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, right? It's never wishful thinking. It's always confidence. It's always assurance. It's a living certainty, living with certainty in the promises of God. So if you want to have hope today, live with certainty in the promises of God, and it settles things. It lifts you beyond the cares of this world and fixes your eyes on the hope of Jesus Christ. How would you like to know that kind of hope? How would you like to experience that kind of hope? Maybe you're here today and you need this message of hope, this message that answers the most important questions in life. Why am I here? Where did I come from? What is the framework in which I should live by? And what is my destiny? Where am I going when I die? So there's a living hope. And look at John chapter 16, verse 20. He says this. He's continuing with his disciples, and he says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. So there's a living hope, and there's a lasting joy in this message. Jesus was exactly right. Their crucifixion was the saddest day of the disciples' lives, watching the trial play out, the accusations against him, how they mocked him, how he suffered, the evil that was poured out on Jesus. We talked about this on Good Friday on that night, that what men intend for evil, God turns for good. And so Jesus tells his disciples, your sorrow will be turned. It'll be turned into joy. And then he gives them this an example, and he goes on in verse 21. He says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Birth is painful. It's difficult. I tell everyone, childbirth is the hardest on the men. It's a joke. But there is joy when new life comes, when there's birth. There might be hardship in the process. Jesus himself had a joy perspective. Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so here's the joy set before him. And Jesus says, I can go through all of that because of this. So here's the question. What is joy? What is joy? People sometimes, they equate joy with happiness, and so they'll replace the word with happiness or vice versa. But here's the difference. Happiness tends to be achieved externally, right? And so, for example, we can feel happy when we've received something like a gift or an award. So we have this feeling of happiness. Happiness is great. Happiness is wonderful. But joy is something achieved internally, right? It's something God does inside of you. Joy is something deeper. It's an inner optimism that's built on the promises of God. An inner optimism built on the promises of God. I can have joy during difficult times. How? Because it's not based on external circumstances. And you see this from time and time again. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were singing praises to the Lord, knowing that they could possibly be killed. They could be executed, but they're singing praises to the Lord. Jesus himself, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It's not based on external circumstances. It's an internal optimism built on the promises of God. Do you have the joy of the Lord? I like what Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you have the joy of the Lord? Do you have an internal optimism that's rooted and grounded in the person and works of Jesus Christ? Those promises that say, I am a child of God, and no one can snatch me out of his hand. I am a new creation in Christ. I have an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Do you have that kind of hope and that kind of joy? There is a living hope and there's a lasting joy. These things are all made possible through the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this old world is not our focus now. When we surrender our lives over to Christ, we become heavenly minded. Amen? And so what happens is our life is secure and settled. This is no longer our home. Earth is not our home. We're just people on a blue ball floating in space, okay? We are here temporarily. This is a temporary assignment. Are you catching the idea here? Okay. And so we have a greater hope. We have a longer and more secure joy because of that, because of what Jesus has done, and because our future is settled. I like what Billy Sunday says. He says this, if you have no joy, you have a leak somewhere in your Christianity. That's a great way of putting it. There's a disconnect in your Christianity. You need resurrection. You need a joy that is anchored in something far greater than this world. You're not going to find it here, this kind of joy. And then finally, let's look, because what Jesus does is he gives us a lifelong peace through the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus tells his disciples, look at verse 32, chapter 16 of John, verse 32. Behold, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you will be scattered, he's telling his disciples, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Look at verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble, tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have said these things that you may have peace. Where is your peace today? Are you finding your peace in the world? Jesus assures us that in the world, you'll have tribulation. And notice, he didn't say your life will now be problem-free, okay? We are going to, in fact, Jesus himself, he was perfect, he was sinless, but he lived in this environment, he lived on this planet, and things did not always go well for him. Did you notice this? Okay. Falsely accused, ridiculed, mocked, beaten, tortured. But he says this, he says, in me you have peace. Take heart, I have overcome the world. That's where we find peace, in the fact that he has overcome the world. I have a good friend, Beverly Light, a few weeks ago. She passed away from cancer, and this woman was a saint. She loved the Lord. poured her life into serving and helping people and just bringing glory to God every day. And her daughter the other day reposted one of her most recent Facebook posts. Beverly typed this just days before she passed away. And she wrote, "God never promises you a smooth ride, just a safe landing. There is peace in him. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. But that doesn't mean life on earth went perfectly for him. He gives us peace in the storm. In him, there is lasting peace because of the work he accomplished on the cross and because of the victory that we find in the resurrection." And you know, today, I'm excited today. Life for the believer is good. Life for the believer is exciting. It's really good because of this, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we have victory in him. Amen? I want you to look at the screen. I'm going to go through these points one more time again. Resurrection means living hope. It means lasting joy. And it means lifelong peace. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And maybe you need that today. You know, last week on Palm Sunday, I shared a message and we learned about that God, we serve a God that exceeds our expectations. And so we have to be very careful when we come to Christ not to bring all of our demands and all of our assumptions about who he is. We come empty, right? Because when we come with all of these expectations and demands on God, we limit some of the things that he is wanting to do in our lives. But if we come empty, he will take you to where he wants you to go. And look, his plan is always better than your plan. Amen? And so, and then on Good Friday, we learn that what man intends for evil, God turns for the good. And so the struggles and the things that you might go through and you might have been through this last year or so, what man intends for evil in those difficult times and those struggles, God can turn it. He can turn it for good. And that's good news. So my prayer is this, that this will be a new day for you. And I pray that as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we reflect on the goodness of God, that when you leave this place today, it won't just be about Easter celebration with the family, which is good, and that's fun and exciting, but it's about what Jesus accomplished through the resurrection. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that through this message, Lord, this will be a message of hope for someone in this room, someone who might be searching and looking for answers. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that has never made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll make that decision today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you how to make that decision today. I would love to hear from you if you would like to email me or connect with me somehow or one of our leaders here. But let me share it with you what it means to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Number one is you have to confront sin. Sin is what is destroying all the good things that God has created. Sin is what is destroying your life. It's what steers you off course. It's what makes you think that you're the boss, right? Sin, it's an attitude and it's an action. It's an attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. And it's an action that sort of plays out in all sorts of different ways, right? Lying, stealing, gossip. And so you have to confront sin and you have to be able to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I live my life as a person who's the king of my life. and I'm the boss of me, and that's how I'm living my life. But now I want you to be Lord. And through the person and works of Jesus Christ, what you do is you put your belief in what Jesus did on the cross, who he is, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, what the resurrection did is it conquered sin and death. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. And so that's why this is a decision. It's a personal decision. It's not, hey, my mom was a Christian and my dad was a Christian, therefore I must be a Christian. It's not a family heritage thing. It's a personal decision, right? And it doesn't matter how sincere you are, okay? Good people do not go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven, okay? The Bible says there are none good, not one, right? And so what we do is we make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, believing in the person and works of Jesus, what he did on the cross and his resurrection. We make the decision to trust him, and we receive his forgiveness, and we live the life that he has called us to. Amen? And if you would like to do that today, I'm just going to give us a moment here. I just feel convicted to do this, where I'm just going to have everyone kind of close their eyes and bow their heads. If you would like to pray to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior on today, Resurrection Sunday, I just want you to just lift your hand up and I will pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand out or do anything, but if you would like to trust him as your Lord and Savior, thank you. Thank you back there. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I can't help but think you are at work. You're always at work, working in the hearts of people. And I pray for those who lifted up their hand, Father, that you will clearly and concisely lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Teach them who you are, Lord. Help them to put their trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.